Welcome to the Plant Grow REIT podcast.
Welcome back to the Plant Grow REIT podcast. My name's Chelsea. I'm here today with James, our director of Angel Group Wealth, and we're just going to chat a little bit around the value of financial advice, who we can help and why it's important to get a professional in their advice. DIY doesn't always cut it, and we're just going to cover a few of the ways that James can really make sure that you're getting the most out of your money, basically. So thanks for joining us, James.
Thanks, Chelsea.
We'll start with just why you think financial advice is essential for people who are looking to secure their financial future.
Well, what financial advice does is it provides an objective and structured framework for people to make financial decisions and also plan for their future. Because too often what happens is people will they'll start saving or investing because they think they've got to do it. So they'll say things like, I need to start investing. I need to buy an investment property. I need to buy some shares.
Yeah.
But that on itself doesn't really get you anywhere. Yes, you could make some money, but what's the purpose of that? Like, why are you doing it? So what we try to do is we try to understand what's important to them. And then we try to, and for instance, that could be like saving for education, saving for an investment property, saving for retirement. And then when we build the plan, we can build it specifically tailored towards those objectives. So it really gives some meaning and context to what savings and investing. So why are you doing it? Well, we're doing it because we want to do this, this and this.
Yeah, it provides some direction for them rather than just a shotgun approach of just throwing a bunch of things out there that they've heard, you know, around the dinner table or something at a barbecue, and it's actually giving them the outcome that they want.
Yeah, it is. It's important because if you think about it, for most people, it's a long-term journey. And the idea of sticking to something sometimes seems good at the start, but over the long term, which you're supposed to be doing this investing, it can be hard. And if you've got no context for why you're doing it, because you're just investing because your friend's doing it or that's what you're supposed to do, well, it's hard to stick with it. Eventually you get bored and then you move on.
You need that accountability partner to make sure that you're sticking with what you need to stick with and adjusting and reframing and working towards those goals.
Yeah, you need meaning as well. I mean, like I want a comfortable retirement so I can spend it with my grandkids.
Yeah.
That means you can then you know why you're doing it.
Yeah. And so what are the main differences you see between someone who works with a financial planner versus someone who does try to manage it on their own and maybe runs out of steam or doesn't have any direction to work from?
Yeah, it's like accountability, I suppose. Once you got your plan, if you got someone you're regularly checking in with, they're there to make sure that that plan is on track and you're not getting distracted.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next shiny thing that comes along, you know, someone you're working with can pull you back and say, well, why are we doing this? Remember, we have a plan. Our plan is to help you achieve X, Y, and Z for these reasons. This is what was important to you. Is it still important?
Yeah.
And that way we can bring them back to that and they can feel, okay, that's why we did it. They've been reminded. And then they can go back and continue on the plan. So it's an accountability. It's like going to the gym, you know. It's like you're going to the gym and if you got someone there who checks in on you all the time, make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to keep stick on the path. And you're going to achieve.
I'm one of those people. I have a weekly personal training session and I go to classes because it's an appointment. If it's not an appointment, I'm not going to go. Like if I'm left to my own devices and no one's holding me accountable, I'm just not going to go. So it's good to have that check-in point and have someone hounding you and being like, all right, are you on track? What are you up to? And what you mentioned about the new shiny thing, is that something you see a lot? People coming to you and being like, oh, I saw this thing online or, you know, in this email blast and should we be doing this? Do I need to pull out? Oh, I've heard this about the economy. Is that the biggest thing that people get caught up in?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many reasons why someone might go off track. I mean, it could just be simply being bored of the process. And it could be, I could be going on a holiday now and they might want to go on a holiday and we could stop investing for a while. We can come back to it, they might say. But, you know, like that will take them off track and potentially that will inhibit their attaining their retirement goal at a particular age, it might take a lot longer.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to sort of bring them back to what's important to them. Is it that holiday now, or is it the holiday for the next 30 years?
You know,
like that. That's important. But you're right. There's all sorts of things on. They'll watch on the news. They'll talk to a friend at the pub, and they go, "Look, I heard about this share, and what should we be doing?" And yeah, you got to say to them, "Well, you've already got some of those shares in your portfolio already. You might not notice that, and look, I'll show you, and we'll take you through it." And it's important not to put all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So we go back to the diversification component of their plan, and they'll. At that point, they'll go, okay, makes sense, and then they stay on track for another review period, and we keep them going, keep them going, keep them going. Eventually, they get there.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of that short-term pain, long-term gain, and keeping them on track means that eventually they do see more of a tangible benefit to staying the course and sticking with what's been laid out and the plan that's there, rather than that instant gratification of like. Jumping into a new share or the latest shiny thing, and they feel really good in the moment, and then in the long term you're able to demonstrate that actually it's better to just stay the course and be patient. It might be boring, but it works.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll just add one more thing to that is they often at the time it seems important, but once you've had that discussion it just goes away and they forget about it and it's not really that important anymore. That was just the thing that week, and then, you know, next time I speak then there'll be something else. But, you know, we stick to the plan and we'll get there.
Yeah, and speaking of that tangible benefit, what is the biggest measurable ways that that proper financial advice is a benefit to clients? What's the most value that they get out of it?
Well, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. You've got your intangible, which is obviously your peace of mind and the ability to just get on with other things. But in terms of tangible, there's quite a few areas that we like to look at. One would be a topic called asset allocation. So it just means putting your assets in the right buckets to achieve the outcome you're looking for. So that asset allocation, getting the right asset allocation, can add a significant return to someone over the long term. And the reason why it's so easy to add value in that area is that a lot of people through the superannuation funds are in just the middle of the road balanced type of investment. In fact, over 70% of Australians are in that option. Now, that might be okay for certain people, but it's not okay for 70% of people.
Yeah.
And if you're a younger person looking to build wealth over the long term, by moving those assets into a higher growth bucket, it can add at least 1 or 2% over the long term. And that, when you look at those two portfolios, the balanced portfolio for someone who's 30 to age 65 and a high growth portfolio for someone who's 30 to age 65, it can be a significant increase. So it's just getting things like that right. It's things like getting all their products, in terms of costs. So their superannuation funds or their investments could be very expensive.
Yeah.
And just getting them into the right mix where they get the same outcome but it's a lot cheaper. The insurances. Yeah. So a lot of their products might be overpriced, so they can get the same thing cheaper. So they're getting better returns with their asset allocation. They're getting lower cost products. They would have things like tax optimization as well.
Yeah, I was going to say how big a part does tax strategies play in making sure they get the most benefit out of it?
Well, tax strategies can play a massive role, particularly with the way superannuation is set up in terms of the tax. If you're invested in superannuation and you get most of your assets in there by retirement, when you start drawing down an income stream, at the moment, it's zero tax for most people. Almost all people will be paying no tax. Now, the difference between no tax and a lot of tax is a big difference.
Yeah.
So, tax optimization would definitely be part of it. So if you add all those different components where you're getting better returns, you're paying less, you're getting a better tax optimization outcome, your investments, I suppose, through expertise that we would offer would be also better diversified. So it means you've got less risk of things going wrong where you put it all in one place and that could go wrong.
Yeah.
So if you looked at all those areas put together, I would put that down as significant tangible increase in terms of overall financial outcomes.
Do you have an example of a client where you were able to provide that outcome?
Well, there's a couple I could think of off the top of my head. So, for instance, I had this one lady who was about 30 years old. She was a high income earner, so she had a good start. So she'd done a lot of things right. But financially what she'd done on a personal level was she hadn't actually saved it. She wasn't saving any money. And she had a lot of credit card debt and she liked to spend money because it was only because she didn't really have a plan what to do with it. So the default option was, okay, I'm just going to spend it.
Bit of lifestyle creep.
Yeah. And it wasn't that she didn't want to, she had goals, but she'd never really sat down with anyone to address them and come up with a plan.
Yeah.
So what we did was we worked out what's the most important thing for her. And it was to buy a house, it was to get out of debt, and it was to save for the future.
Yeah.
And so we've set up a plan. And this was quite a few years ago now because she's been with me for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Now she's got her house. She's paid a lot of it off. She's got a significant increase in superannuation. Her insurances are set up so if anything goes wrong, she'll be okay. And she's got no consumer debt.
Yeah.
So as far as she's concerned, she's very happy. She's got a lot of peace of mind and she's got a plan. And now what she does is she still spends money, but she spends it knowing she's also saving money and she's getting ahead.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to spend money because you have to enjoy life as well. It's not all a case of putting it all away and going, well, I've got to think about the future all the time. There is the present.
Yeah. You got to have that balance.
Live, right?
Yeah.
You got to live. And that also keeps you on track because if you're knowing you're doing the right thing on one side, but you're also having fun along the journey, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah. And you mentioned that she's really happy. Is that sort of the feedback you get from clients that they feel more settled and they feel more comfortable spending that money because they know that they can because they've got the savings. They get the best of both worlds, so to speak.
Yeah, it's definitely the case because when you don't have a plan and you don't know how it's all going to turn out, any spending can feel like too much spending.
Yeah.
And not in her case because she wasn't that. But there are people I see who would come into – and they'd come in and they'll talk about retirement and they go, we want to know when we can retire, if we can retire. And we go through their financial position, we'll find out what sort of lifestyle income they want when they retire. We'll do some financial modelling and we'll find out they can retire right now.
Yeah.
And all along they were thinking, well, we won't be able to retire, we're running out of money. And they didn't want to, they didn't want to spend. Now it was a case of you can spend,
you've
got plenty of money, go and enjoy yourself.
Mm.
And you're not going to run out of money.
Yeah,
I can assure you. I've seen the numbers. So once you've got that direction and clarity, you know you have confidence.
Yeah,
and once you've got the confidence, you've got the peace of mind. And when they got peace of mind, it just makes life a bit easier.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Like it, you know, I know it can be a tough thing to confront, and some people might just go, "Oh, ignorance is bliss." If I don't look too hard into it, it's a future me problem. I'll work it out later. But the clarity is potentially very freeing. One way or another, you could be pleasantly surprised and find out that you have you're really on track and you've got a lot more than you thought as a nest egg. Or conversely, ignoring the problem, if there is a problem, isn't going to make it better. It's just going to make it worse further down the track. So prevention is better than cure, but if a adjustment to the spending needs to be made, it's better to do it earlier. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot more stress further down the track when you're a bit older, a bit tighter, potentially got kids, grandkids, other expenses and things like that. So I can really see how earlier is better. And you have mentioned sort of the behavioral coaching element that comes into it. I'm sure that, you know, it's not just about the numbers and laying out the plan and the cash flow forecasts. You really have to shape the mindset and the behavior with the clients. Is that a very vital part of your role? It's a bit more human behavior than some people might realize.
I'd say most of it's human behavior. I'd say behavioral management is a fundamental part of the job, the most important part of the job. because people come in and they think, oh, it's about this product or that product, this share or that share. But really, that's not that important. What really matters is how you manage yourself.
Yeah.
And behavioral management is particularly important. The two key areas that it really comes up is around that saving and spending, because we've got to be able to develop a surplus of money, extra money each month or year, to be able to invest to get ahead. So that comes around that behavioral management around your spending. But for a lot of people, particularly as they get older, the behavioral management is around the investment markets.
Yeah.
So when they've got their nest egg in their retirement funds, and the share markets and the global markets have one of their sort of every decade type of painful downturn, that becomes very stressful for them. So at that point, the behavioral management is crucial.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people naturally do in those scenarios is they will try to sell everything.
Yeah.
So they'll sell everything, and they're I've heard this many times over the years. When things settle down, I'll get back into the markets.
Yeah.
Is what they always say.
Which is that's the opposite of what you're meant to do, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not a great way to do it. And the reason why it's not a great way to do it is because when they sell, it's when they've had enough. They can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
And by then, the market is getting close to the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's often a sort of a human nature is they put up with it, I know I've got to stay there, I've got to stay the course. And eventually they go, no more. I'll get in, when they'll feel better, I could sleep better at night. And then the problem is by the time they turn their attention back to investing, the markets have already gone back up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all the way back up, but they've missed a lot of it.
Yeah.
So what they've done now is they've crystallized a loss. Now they actually have lost money.
Yeah.
For the people where we're working with who we're managing that behavior, we're actually reminding them of this is a normal part of the investment market experience.
Yeah.
Selling now is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's stick to the plan. We've got a plan in place. We know these things are going to happen over from time to time. And if you've got spare money, let's put some in. Let's actually take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And we can build some more wealth. So we're buying cheap.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if tuna's half price at the shops, do we want to buy two cans at that point?
Yeah.
Or just the usual one when it's at full price. So we want to take advantage. But even if we can't take advantage because they're retired, they don't have the money, it's just staying the course and waiting it out.
Yeah.
Because then they won't lose any money.
Yeah.
It's the people that jump out, the reassurance
that they need.
Well, that's why I say behavioral management is so important, because when people talk about tangible benefits, if we could stop people selling at a significant loss and then going to very conservative investments because they couldn't handle it anymore and they weren't given that education and guidance along the way, they will lose money and that will cost them significantly over the long run, which wouldn't have happened otherwise. So I would think just that one thing more than adequately pays for our fees.
Yeah, and in terms of making sure that they get that reassurance consistently and do stay the course, how does regular check-ins and that ongoing advice play into that, rather than just, you know, some people might think that it's a bit of a set and forget thing. You get the advice, you buy the stocks, you leave it for X amount of years and see how it goes. But I do know that that regular check-in part is very important to you. Can you talk a bit more on that?
I think it's the most important part, because when you've got a plan in place, it's just right now. You've got something in place, it's nice, it's a significant document, it looks good and it's got all these strategies and you start off and you do whatever it says. But really, like any journey, you know, that's just the start.
Yeah.
It's to achieve their outcome they want, they need to be consistently following certain behaviours month in, month out, year in, year out. So you can't rely on one document at the start. It's like going to the gym and saying, okay, here's my program.
Yeah.
I'll go away and do it. Well, you got to turn up to the gym every single week and you got to do that consistently for year in, year out if you want the outcomes you want.
And presumably as well, as things change, like with the gym example, so after a while that program's not going to suit you anymore, because presumably your, you know, lifestyle's going to change, your abilities are going to change, you can probably up the ante a little bit, something might happen, you might get injured, you've got to adjust based on what's going on presumably financial advice is the same. Life experiences happen, things change, and you've got to be able to adjust. You can't just stick to that original plan.
That's right. So there's, you know, the plan itself can go stale, which is correct, in the sense of stale meaning, you know, your life, you might get married, have children, might buy a house, you might get an inheritance, you might have a school fees to pay for, you might want to retire. All these things change along the way. So the plan itself would need to change. The legislation changes. The government changes the rules all the time, and your plan was based on the rules at that time, but it will change. Like, for instance, superannuation changes every single year at the budget time. There's always some tweaking to the super plan, the super environment. And then you've also got the markets themselves. Well, they change.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily set and forget in that sense. I mean, recently, just an example of the markets changing, after COVID, the interest rates went rock bottom.
Yeah.
And around a few years after that, they then shot up from practically zero to what they are now at 4.35%.
Yeah.
And that had a significant impact on some people's portfolios.
Yeah.
So if people just had that old portfolio and did nothing about it, they could have seen quite a capital loss.
Mm.
Now, the regular check-ins will address all those areas. You've got a plan. Now, things change. We tweak it. We keep tweaking, and then that way we ensure we get to where we need to get to. And if there's any sort of major surgery that's required along the way, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So we'll get that plan. The idea is always to have the plan on track.
Yeah.
And have your finances constantly fully organised. So that way you know, it's peace of mind. You know, everything's organised and we're on track to achieve our goals.
Yeah.
If it's years away from doing it, all those things we've mentioned may be well and truly out of kilter.
Yeah.
And you might not get the outcomes you're looking for.
Yeah. You mentioned before, just in passing, about, you know, the tax savings and having the right tax strategy just on its own can help cover things like the fees for the financial advice. How do you have the conversation with clients who are hesitant about the fees so they can see how a financial planner could help them stay the course, achieve those goals, get that proper advice, especially when the market is doing what the market does? How do you have that conversation with them about fees and make them feel like there is value to what you do, but also the long-term benefit and how that outweighs what they might see as an initial upfront cost?
Mm. Well, it has often been pointed out that, you know, something's only too expensive when you can't see the value.
Yeah.
So if there's enormous value, price doesn't matter as much. It's only when you can't see the value. So the important thing what we do with the clients is try to take them through where the value is.
Yeah.
Get them to see the value in their situation, why this is of a significant amount of value to them specifically, and why the fee in relation to that isn't as high as the value.
Yeah.
So they feel like, yeah, we're getting value for money.
Yeah.
And it's important. And so the way we would do it as well is, before we even get to that part, we'll make sure that the clients themselves will be able to get value from our services.
Yeah.
It's not a case of us creating value where there is none.
Yeah.
If we can't add value, we'll tell them up front.
Yeah.
It's the people where we can add value, they're the people we're actually meeting with and they're the people we're talking with. So we're already confident we can add the value in terms of our fee. So we want it to be value for money. And then we'll take them through all the areas where we can add value. We've mentioned that before in terms of just, you know, saving money, helping them save money right at the start, helping them with the right investments, getting the right products in place, also the right sort of fee structure around those products, managing behavior, all those areas. We take them through that and they can see, well, there's a significant amount of value and they can see it for themselves.
Yeah.
And we'll also say to them, look, over time, it's going to become, the value will become greater and greater because, you know, we'll develop a relationship, you'll feel confident and you'll know you're dealing with the right people. And as that goes along, then the value just becomes pretty straightforward because you can see your wealth building, you can see that you're on track, and then it seems like a sensible decision at that point.
Yeah. It's sort of overcoming what their preconceived notions might be about financial advice. Do you see some misconceptions, people walking into meetings and being a bit skeptical or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. You're going to find – well, it depends on the situation. Like if somebody's had advice before and they were happy with it, well, it's going to be easy to explain it to them because they already understand. The people who haven't had a good experience, well, they're the ones that may not see the value. So they're the ones we want to spend extra time with trying to explain to them, once again, going back to that value of advice discussion. And there's also misconceptions out there about people think they need to be wealthy before they even come in.
Yeah.
So, like, financial advisors are just for people with money straight away. If you don't have a lot of money, what's the point?
Yeah.
Our idea is that, well, you've got to start somewhere. We gave the example of that young lady at her start of her journey.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't have a lot of wealth.
Yeah.
She was a high income earner, but she didn't have any real wealth. I mean, her net sort of assets were probably close to negative at the time.
Yeah, especially with the credit card debt.
Yeah, exactly. Card debt, credit card debt, and all those sort of issues on her balance sheet. But people like that, if they if they're committed and they want to build wealth and they're prepared to take advice, they're very good clients as well because they can get significant benefits out of a structured program where they've got a plan and we keep them accountable to that plan.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say to people, you know, don't just think, you know, like I need a lot of money. Think about, you know, I'm prepared to actively get involved in this financial planning journey and I want to build wealth. Those are good clients and we can help them a lot.
Yeah. It's almost backwards. People think that they have to have the wealth already before they come to you, whereas it's the other way around. They come to you and then you can help them build the wealth.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Because a lot of people, you know, they've got the wealth, they probably know a thing or two to get there in the first place. But, you know, from their point of view, they're a different type of client. So when someone's already got wealth, they're looking for it to be managed.
Yeah.
You know, they want to take the pressure off them. They've done all the hard work to get there. And they don't want to just be responsible for managing this money all the way. They want to work with people who can help them with that.
Yeah.
It's like a partnership.
Yeah.
Whereas the people building wealth, that's a bit different. That's a totally different discussion because they have different strategies they've got to follow.
Yeah.
And it's a different mindset.
Yeah.
They're on a journey.
Yeah. And they're at the start.
Yeah.
And that comes back to the professional advice and being able to tailor it. Whereas, you know, if you're doing it yourself, you don't necessarily know these things and know that you have different needs to the person at the barbecue that told you about the shares that you should buy or whatever the case may be, the crypto that's popping off at the moment or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, exactly. You're 100% right. The person at the barbecue may have everything sorted out.
Yeah.
And this is just a bit of play money for them.
Yeah.
Or the person at the barbecue doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And they heard it from another guy at another barbecue they went to
Instagram Reels or something about Rizcoin or Rizmus or whatever it is at the moment that's going on.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm not here to say anything's right or wrong, but I'm just saying it needs to be correct for your situation.
Yeah.
You know, and it may be, but, you know, I don't know about the guy at the barbecue is necessarily the guy who's got your best interests at heart.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. You want someone who has the whole story when it comes to your finances, you know, knows what you're working towards, why you're working towards it, and can tailor that advice accordingly. And that doesn't necessarily come from a, you know, chat around the dining table with a beer and a snag or whatever the case
may be. Not necessarily.
In terms of the financial planning landscape and financial advice, where do you see it evolving in the next bit? Because obviously it's always evolving. How does that look to you?
Well, this is not just specifically to our industry. It's every industry now is technology is definitely front and center.
Yep.
And it is changing the way advice is delivered. And it's also changing the client's experience.
Yeah.
And I think just as an easy example really with the advice is it can now be a lot more personalised because there's a lot of tools out there which allow people to put all their data in and not just the data we're working with but all their data, like all their assets, their liabilities across all their advisors. You know, yeah. they might have someone, a mortgage person who's doing their mortgages, that property buyer's advocate, for instance, who's got their investment property, self-managed super fund. All of this stuff is everywhere at the moment. Yeah. So each at the well, not at the moment. Now at the moment, what's happening is we're consolidating it all into one technology solution where they can, on an app, see their whole of wealth in one place.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. So previously they were going for this spreadsheet, they were got this PDF someone sent them, they had to call someone else and put it all together.
Yeah.
Now it's the technology is pulling all that data into one place, and as simple as lying on the couch at night, pushing a button, you can see your whole wealth in one place.
Yeah. And that gives that real-time data, which means that decisions are easier if, you know, goals are changing or you've got property that you're looking into, you have that accurate information to work from, everything's consolidated.
Up to date, yep.
Yeah, which is exactly what you want. It makes it easier and accessible, which accessibility is a big thing too. You want, is that something that technology is definitely making easier? People have access to their own information, whereas previously it was hidden away in a data file somewhere.
Well, it is, and it also gives people that clarity too now, because previously a lot of people didn't know their whole position.
Yeah.
They'd come in and literally didn't understand everything they got.
Yeah.
There still are people like that because they got things all over the place. But we do, that's one of the things we do at Aintree is we use technology to pull all that data in so they can see for themselves what they've got. They can also see how it's going, but it also helps us with our plans.
Yeah.
Because we can see what they've got and we can make sure that any advice we give is appropriate to the overall situation.
Yeah.
Because previously when I first started in the industry, I mentioned everything was all over the place. So a lot of advice from a lot of advisors, not just planners but all advisors, was a bit piecemeal.
Yeah.
It was just here's the job we're doing, let's work on that job.
It was in isolation.
It wasn't sort of well thought out overall strategic plan. It was just, yeah, this will work here, but no one ever saw – well, not no one, but a lot of people were in had all these solutions, but maybe they weren't working towards one common direction.
Yeah.
Maybe there might have been some working against each other.
Yeah, you need that holistic approach. You can't just have three different people working towards three different goals and hoping the outcome is going to be good. For someone who is considering financial advice for the first time, what would you say is the most important takeaway? So, for instance, for me, about to turn 30, have a house and some savings but no investments, what's the takeaway that you want me to have about financial planning and how that can work for me?
Well, our takeaway for everyone is a plan.
Yeah.
A financial plan. So a plan where you've sat down and you've expressed what's important to you. What really makes you tick, getting that context, and then building a financial plan which takes you from here to where you want to get to with that context in mind. So for some people that context might be, I want to invest and it makes sense. Now, it's not for you, it might not necessarily make sense to invest specifically. It might be something else, might be pay down debt but for those examples where investment makes sense, that person might be interested in like a sustainable portfolio.
Yeah.
So the context is for them, that's an important component of their life.
Yeah.
So it's not just investing. So our plan wouldn't just say, here, go and invest. We'd have to bear that in mind and select the right type of investments which sort of worked well with someone's philosophy.
Yeah. I think that's something people don't necessarily know, that we can adjust their goals and what their money is being invested in based on their personal values and what they believe in socially, politically, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So you can tailor it. So the idea here is to understand the context. That's why we want to sit down with someone and really understand them, so we can build a plan. So when you've got a plan, you know where you're heading.
Yeah.
You know the steps you need to take. So it does make it a lot easier to achieve those goals, but you also want that plan to tailor in with what's important to you.
Yeah.
It's not just what's important to the planner. We could come up with a plan, but it's really your plan.
Yeah.
And if you want to stay the course, you've got to be able to do that. And when it comes to just things like investments, you can tailor investment portfolios to cut out significant things. Mm. You know, people want don't want anything that's harmful to the environment, then you can cut that out of a portfolio. You can specifically have a screen which takes it out.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the healthcare profession and you're really interested in health and you think it's the way to go, you can tilt the portfolio towards health.
Yeah.
So get extra health.
Yeah.
So you could create a portfolio where there's extra stuff you like and there's less stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
And that also will keep people on track on the journey because at that point they feel like, hey, this is something I really enjoy now.
Yeah, they're personally invested in what their money is supporting. They're not just, yeah,
it's you know. Not just investing. See, that's yeah. the thing. People come and say, I want to invest. It's like you got to make
what?
It's got to be
for
meaningful.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, exactly. It's not just the investments. We've discussed all the adding more, taking out, but also what for. At the start we spoke about for education, for retirement, start a business.
Yeah.
All of these things. Maybe take a year's trip around the world.
Yeah.
Why are we doing it? The context. So once we build all that into the plan, then we can keep them accountable to that plan. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Step by step by step, milestone by milestone by milestone, eventually they get there. And then, you know, that's the idea. That's what we're working towards here.
Yeah. And it comes right back to that partnership mm. word that you keep using. It is a partnership. It's a long-term partnership where you're working through it together over hopefully a long period of time. And like you said, tweaking those strategies as you go, adjusting the goalposts as needed, adapting to the different life situations or things that pop up. But it's having that accountability partner and someone who understands, yeah, the you, goal yeah. and the purpose and the values and the meaning behind it all, not just numbers on a page.
Exactly. Gives them meaning.
Yeah. And that's in the end what we want to do. Well, thank you, James, for sharing that insight. I think financial planning is definitely an area that some people, they don't understand or they're not sure, they don't realise that it is for them or they think that it's not. I appreciate you sharing your insight and experience. And thank you to everyone for listening to Plant, Grow, Reap. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts and we will see you next time.
Thank you.